We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen, this is an explosive offense we went against, so got to pick your poison a little bit. And I know the numbers statistically aren't good when we look at our defense against our offense, but you got to pick your poison here in terms of how you want to go about attacking them there.
What's a portion of Sean McDermott's comments after the lost to Kansas City in week six? And I want to get to call here, and we'll get to what Jeremy teased about Michael Lombardi and Brian Daboll and the Chargers job. 803-0550.
We'll do that at the end of this segment. It's a really good explainer on that I hadn't thought of, and it'll instantly make sense. 720, we'll do that on why the Chargers may have leaned away from Brian Daboll.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, Jeremy, so let me read you another part of what McDermott was saying and what Patrick Mahomes said, and ask you about what the approach will be Sunday night. No, he brought up the offensive, the explosive offense. Pick your poison. I'm not saying we liked what we gave up in the running game. That said, towards the end of the game, we were in the game, as opposed to some people that are getting blown out because the ball's flying over their head. And Mahomes, after the game, was asked about. I mean, that was the stat that night was, it was the most runs ever by an Andy Reid coach team. Quote, Mahomes, we had a few more pass plays called. We always do. Once we saw how deep their linebackers and safeties and corners were playing, we knew we had the run game. We just stayed with it. If teams are going to play us that way, you're going to see us run the football, and we have the guys to do it. 46 times, they ran the ball that night. Will you have a similar game plan to Sunday night? I mean, the thing that McDermott kept talking about after that game is, he and Micah Hyde said the same thing. We don't want to give up explosive plays. We don't want the ball going over the top. And with 6.5 minutes left or so, it's a 6-point game. Would you expect a similar game plan?
I mean, I suppose so. Defensively, yeah, I do.
Dropping guys back, making sure Hill doesn't blow the cover off your defense, stuff like that.
Well, the Bills' game plan is always to not get beat over the top, right? That part of it rarely happens. So I feel like they'll still do that. There are good stats on Mahomes and throwing a Tyreek Hill 15-plus yards down the field. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
The game plan defensively was okay. It didn't stop Mahomes from having a good day. It just made him throw it less. 25 passing attempts in a game for Patrick Mahomes is not that many.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of runs. It was, the most runs Andy Reid had ever called.
Right, 46 running plays. It's incredible. I mean, for a Kansas City offense – to run almost twice as much as Mahomes threw the football. This is a guy who, over the last half of the season, had 40 or more pass attempts in all but one game. Well, actually two, I guess, because he was injured in the game against Cleveland, so I'm going to guess he didn't hit 40 throws. So this guy throws for 40 or more times on the average, and they threw 25 and ran 46. I'm thinking the Bills are going to look at that and go, it wasn't a bad philosophy, because the game was there for the taking in the fourth. Two things they're going to think are going to happen. One, Allen in the passing game will be better in this game than they were against Kansas City. And two, maybe this should be one and that should be two. But and two, that they're going to be better defensively against the run. Their defensive line was pushed back in that game. Maybe they feel, their tackles will hold up better against them. Milano maybe helps with run support, and he's back. He missed that game. Edmonds wasn't 100%. He's 100% now. Seems to be flying to the football. I almost feel like they're going to go, it was not a flawed game plan, and we'll do better at it this time around. Let's get some calls. Hey, we want to talk to you about the Bills and the Chiefs. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. We'll go to Zach in Hamburg. Thanks for holding on, Zach. Go right ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I just wanted to bring up a point that I may have missed you guys talking about this week, or if it's just my information is incorrect. But if I can remember correctly, wasn't Josh Allen having a hindering injury to his shoulder when we played the Chiefs the first time?
He was on the injury list. He had an injury designation for a good half of the season. And, yeah, he hurt his shoulder against the Raiders, right? A
couple weeks prior. So it would have been two weeks prior. But it's funny. I looked at it, Zach. You're right. I mean, he did. But keep this in mind, too. The shoulder. You're going to say, well, he threw for 122, but his shoulder was banged up. Now, they lost to Tennessee the previous week, but he threw for like 260. He had a better completion percentage than he did against Kansas City. And then 6 days after the loss to Kansas City, I think he threw for 300 yards. They didn't get a touchdown, but he threw for 300 yards and 70% against the Jets.
Okay.
I think Kansas City had a really good game plan. He might not have been 100%, Zach. Maybe he wasn't. But I look at the game prior and I look at the game after, and I think I would give more credit to Kansas City than Josh's shoulders why they threw for 122. I think.
No, I wasn't trying to take anything away from Kansas City.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. But he was. No, yeah. He got injured against the Raiders, and was he listed on the injury report at the time with the shoulder?
He had an injury designation
for a while, right?
Yeah, I think through the bye week.
Yeah.
Sal would know the answer to that, but he did have it for a while.
Yep.
All right, well, thanks guys. Go Bills.
Yeah. All right.
Go Bills.
Amen. Yeah, thanks Zach. Appreciate it. Yeah, And you think, I mean, Knox doesn't play, although, again, we're not going to sit here and tell you that. I mean, Knox is obviously not a huge portion of the passing game, but he didn't play in that game. And I think Brown being hobbled would be a bigger factor than anything else on the offensive side of the ball. They were able to limit Diggs, and John Brown had four targets, but he didn't have a catch. So I think I think Kansas City came up with a pretty good game plan, and they were able to frustrate Josh, and he missed on some throws. And, again, they got some pressures. The offensive line, by the way, the line has changed since that game, too. You know, they're a different starting five.
They got pressure. It was one of only three games this year he didn't get sacked. They did not get to him.
Yeah.
And he was able to run the ball eight times. He ran for about 5 yards per carry, so he ran it a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to just, you know, there's a lot of factors in this. We've talked about this offense so often this year. Did they just have a bad day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't had many of those.
Right.
But did they just have a bad day? They had a bad day against Tennessee, had a couple of turnovers. Did they just have a bad day?
Well,
if you look at the Bills' scores by year, there were 3 weeks in there, the three straight games, they scored 16, 17, and 18.
I was going to bring up the Jets game. They were in a stretch where they just weren't clicking.
Right, so the week after that Chiefs game, they didn't get a touchdown against the Jets, who had a poor defense. Allen threw for 307, but they couldn't get it in the end zone. You know, Croft had a play on the sideline, and there was a drop in the end zone, I believe, too. But after that, they go 24, 44, 30, 27, 34, 26, 48, 38, 56. Like, you know, it was a time where I think we were doubting that this Bills offense, I mean, doubting to some degree. You know, how good are they?
Right.
Because they had looked so strong to start the season. So the fact that Kansas City, you know, if that point total was separated from those other ones, you might look at it differently. The fact that it's right there in a little window where things just kind of drifted, if it's the John Brown injury, if it's, you know, you talk about the offensive line, the change on the line. They've definitely found another gear since then. It was October 19th, which feels like, what, forever ago.
Yeah,
right?
And you know what? Throw in the New England game, although that was somewhat, I believe, a combination of weather-related and what New England was playing defensively, because the Bills only passed 18 times in that game. Remember, they ran twice as much. It was a little bit windy, not the greatest conditions, and I think they were playing six and even some 7 DB looks in that game. But, yeah, if you look at, I mean, that four-game stretch in that chunk, they fly out of the gate 4-0. They're putting up 30 points a game. Then they hit that stretch that you referred to, Jeremy. They beat New England, but, you know, really was not about the offense. I mean, they didn't, you know, Josh threw for 154 in that game. And then all of a sudden, they just took it to a completely different level from Seattle on, really, until the Baltimore game. I mean, if you look at the last half of the regular season, the last, what is it, 9 games. What's the worst game? Chargers? I mean, they got 27, though. I mean, Josh only threw for 157. They had a rough first half against Pittsburgh. I mean, the offense from then, and I do think some of it is the line. If you think back, look, in the first Chiefs game, Feliciano's not back in the lineup yet. We know he makes a big difference to the offensive line when he plays, whether it's pass protection, running game, whatever. Brian Winters plays that night, and he struggles in his matchup against Chris Jones. Cody Ford is on the line at that point. They had gone through like four or five different starting five combinations in the first half of the season due to injuries. And then they finally get everybody healthy. And really, I'd have to check. I mean, it seems like the same starting five with Butker and Feliciano in there has been out there for a good 10-game stretch now. So add that into, you know, yeah, they might have just had a bad night. But also I think that we're at a juncture in the season where they were still trying to figure out how to get the same five guys on the offensive line on a weekly basis. And eventually that worked out, and they started humming as an offensive unit. You want to get to the Lombardi thing?
Yeah, yeah. You want to hear this? I think I can play it from here.
Oh, okay. I was going to say if Brayton has it or
I
not.
I tried to send it to Brayton, but somebody sent it to me in a DM, and I'm having an issue actually trying to send it to him. But I think I can play it from here.
And the Chargers, people say, how did he get that job?
Okay, I can, right?
Yeah,
you heard
that? I heard that fine.
Okay,
yeah.
Here we go. So this is Michael Lombardi. It's a podcast, The GM Shuffle. Michael Lombardi and Adnan Virk. And it's the idea is, you know, we asked the question, why didn't Brian Daboll get that job? They went with Brandon Staley, a relative, an up-and-coming defensive guy. So here's the explanation, and I think it makes sense, and after it we'll ask a few more questions of our own. Why did Brian Daboll not get the Charger job?
Here's how things work in the NFL. So let's go a little bit behind the scenes here. Okay, you're Dean Spanos, right? You just fired basically Anthony Lynn. But you don't want to fire your offensive staff because probably Herbert's come in and told Telesco and he's told Dean, I really like Shane Strickland. I think that's his last name. I don't never say it right. The offensive coordinator. So you got the offensive coordinator, the offensive line, you got the whole offense and staff. They were telling people they were interviewing they wanted to keep the offensive staff. So you don't have to, they don't want to pay those salaries. Now the defensive staff, Bradley's already gone to the Vegas Raiders, and he took two coaches with him. So now he doesn't have to pay those guys. So he offsets his cost. He brings Staley in, no moving expenses there. And then Staley will hire a couple guys with him on defense. And basically they've made the transition from Anthony Lynn to a new coach, improved their defense, a philosophy, kept the offense in place. And, you know, and for basically $6, $7 million, Spanos comes in. If he hires Daboll, he's got to fire the offensive staff. He's got to move Daboll from Buffalo. And now he's looking at $15 million, right? People never look at it that way, but that's the way owners look at it.
Yeah, it's definitely lots of intrigue right there.
How about it?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it. But
me either.
And it makes sense also in a pandemic era where they're not getting fans in their games in L.A. and they lost revenue.
Well, right, you could talk about revenue. The part of it to me that jumps out is if you are the Chargers, you don't like the job Anthony Lynn did as the head coach, but you saw Justin Herbert in his first season look tremendous.
Right? Yeah, why not keep the quarterback coach or the coordinator in place if you can?
Right. And while Brian Daboll has done a lot with Josh Allen, yeah. Do I really want to mess with success here? I feel like my head coach needed to be changed, but I want to keep my offensive staff because if Justin Herbert goes to the owner and says, I mean, listen, I feel like things are great.
Right.
You know, and you realize you've got to make changes, but I like this staff. I think we had a lot of success. I can't wait to see where it goes from here. You might listen to your player. And the point about moving expenses, right, they hired a guy from the same city. He goes from L.A. to
same,
L.A.
And they're in the same stadium, too.
Same
they're not
stadium.
Even like in a different suburb or anything of L.A. You know.
So I heard that, and I thought that's a lot of good points.
Yeah.
I want to thank Anthony. Anthony sent that to me on Twitter. He listened to that at the GM Shuffle. That all makes sense. And, you know, when Michael Lombardi says fans don't think about it like that, he's right. I don't think about – A candidate like Brian Daboll might have been told, "We want you to keep the offensive staff."
Yeah,
which he might say, "Well,
I want my own guys."
Well, I want my own guys, but like you're thinking about your first ever head coaching gig,
yeah,
and you have to A, move across the country, and B, you don't get to pick your offensive staff as an offensive guy.
I'd want to pick my own staff. Now, look, there could be guys on their staff that he likes,
sure,
and would say I'll keep them, but I would want the ability to determine my own staff.
Exactly.
It's an interesting point. I never thought, look, and it also gets to, maybe the cost thing is trumping the continuity thing, but, you know, the continuity discussion is interesting here too, right? If you're hiring a guy who's a defensive coordinator, and in the interview process, maybe you're telling him, hey, listen, we'd like you to keep the OC, and the quarterback coach. I mean, I don't know if they like the O-line coach, the entire offensive staff, but at least they would maybe want the guys that are predominantly dealing with Justin Herbert. And the guy who's getting the job is going, yeah, that's, I mean, your offense was good. I mean, you know, it wasn't. Herbert had a good year. You guys could put up some points. I mean, you know, your head coach was really bad with game management, kind of stubbed his toe every now and then. But yeah, okay, that's cool. Yeah, all right, great. I'll work with your offensive coordinator. He can be our play caller, whatever. I like your quarterback coach. I could see that. And it is continuity, right? We're talking here about how great it's been that Josh will have the same offensive coordinator again next season and the same quarterback coach and all these different things. And if you're Justin Herbert and you're developing a young quarterback, poor Sam Darnold, if you're Justin Herbert, you'd like to keep the same guy. Lamar Jackson's had the same offensive coordinator in Baltimore.
And there's another question in this. If you felt that way, why not just elevate your offensive coordinator?
To head coach, yeah. But maybe they just think he's a really good offensive coordinator.
Right. And well, maybe they just think, if I do that, what fixes my defense?
Yeah.
I guess that's how the Chargers owners might have looked at it.
Right.
What fixes my defense if I just elevate the offensive
coordinator? And it sounds like just reading the quotes from Spanos when the Chargers announced the hiring, like it sounds like the owner was blown away by Staley in the interview process. Like a number of things he really loved about this guy. His passion, his energy, you know, the whole culture thing. Like it sounds like he was so impressed with him in the interview process that maybe he just looked at it and said, I'm going to get the best of both worlds. I'm going to hire this guy who I think is a really good young head coach and is going to be a good head coach, I should say, and I can keep some key components in place with my young quarterback on the offensive side of the ball. That's fine. So let's just, hey, GM, let's just do that. Maybe that's what the owner was thinking there. I didn't think of the cost thing, but that makes sense too. I mean, they don't have as much money. Nobody has as much money coming in. Not sure the NFL is, poor just yet, but they all lost revenue, and that might make sense. He doesn't want to pay a whole bunch of guys for not coaching on his team next season.
I mean, the Chargers, if you're talking about the Chargers, of all the teams to have gate revenue, don't they have the least of the last 2 years? They played in a stadium that wasn't theirs for 30,000 people.
Right. Yeah, they would have had half capacity when there were fans the last time with them.
Yeah.
And then I don't think they had any, right? L.A. was one of the stadiums. I don't believe that had any fans at any point this season. So you didn't get anything there, even, 6,000 fans or whatever revenue you could have made off of that. 803-0550 to join us. The Bills game Sunday. For you, in your opinion, is it more about the Bills offense or the Bills defense? Or again, if you're a special teams fan, we are not leaving you out of the discussion. You can join us on that. You got a question, you got a comment, you got an opinion, something else on the matchup you want to bring up, wunderbar. Our plan this weekend, we have extensive sports talk planned for you. And, of course, game day coverage on Sunday. Saturday, Sports Talk Saturday, a special extended edition. We'll go from 10 until 6. So plan on that accordingly. And then Sunday, we'll get you started again at 10 a.m. with Sports Talk Sunday from 10 to 1. And then it's game day with Jeremy and Nate at 1 o'clock. Countdown to kickoff at 3. Of course, it is a 6:40 kick from Kansas City on Sunday night. After the game, it's the postgame show with Chope and the Bulldog. And that will be followed by Nate Geary and the overtime show. And perhaps Nate into the wee hours of the morning will be ecstatic to talk about the Bills going to the Super Bowl. For the first time that he would be able to remember. That's your lineup. 803-0550 to join us. Hey, when we get back, Paul Hamilton with us. Sabres lost in Philly last night. Didn't play badly, just got shut out, had a lot of shots. We'll delve into that in a moment on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Hey, before we get to Paul, let's get you the three stars from the game last night. Brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. It would be Brian Elliott with the 40-save shutout. Travis Konecny had a goal, and Ivan Provorov were the three stars in Philly last night. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550 as we continue to talk Bills Chiefs all morning, all day, all week. And we'll also bring in Mr. Hamilton to talk a little hockey as well. He is joining us on the Western Hotline on this lovely Wednesday morning. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are you?
I'm good. You know, thanks for asking. I'm doing okay. I mean, the Bills are playing. Brayton brought in donuts. So it's a good day as far as I'm concerned.
Of course, you didn't eat any of the donuts, right?
Oh, I had the first of what will be many between now and 10 o'clock. Thank you for asking. So, you know, they played well last night, Paul. I mean, you can make the case that after opening night, they've played well the last three games, and unfortunately, they've lost two of the last three games while playing well.
Yeah, that's the thing. They have played well for two out of three and lost two out of three and scored one goal in two out of the three. And then they got six in the other one. So... and it was, you know, you got 40 shots in the game last night and you got the right guy shooting. I mean,
yeah,
20 of the shots came from Skinner and Eichel and Stahl and Hall. 20 of those 40 came from those guys. And there were, in some cases, some really, really good opportunities. I mean, Olofsson, he didn't get a shot on goal, but he had two phenomenal opportunities in the early power play. He got set up in the circle. He had the wide open net. Elliott wasn't anywhere to be found, but he had to settle the puck for a second and wound up getting the shot. Provorov wound up getting a piece of it, and it didn't make it to the net. And then in the second period, he got set up, I believe, by Stahl, and he hit the post on it. So
yeah, from the side, yeah.
It's just, you know, the right guys were in the right places, but they weren't converting.
I thought for sure Skinner on, I think it was Sheahan, set him up, and he got his own rebound, too. I thought for sure that was going in. He had some glorious chances last night.
He just has no confidence right now. I think 2 years ago he would have gotten the puck up and under the crossbar and wound up scoring. But instead, he had a goaltender pretty much down and out and put it right back into him. And it wasn't able to get in, and that's three games in a row for him where he's played, I would say, pretty well and had great scoring chances in those three games and hasn't been able to convert any of them.
If we're talking about trying to get scoring chances, I mean, Skinner and that line, he's done all right. He was moved up a little bit later in the game.
Right.
It seems like the player that they haven't been able to get going at all is Stahl.
Yeah, he was a little bit better in that game yesterday, but you're right. He's had some dandy turnovers that have cost them. I mean, he turned the puck over in the 6-1 victory that Konecny wound up going in, and Hutton had made a great save on it, and that would have made it 1-0 Flyers at the time, and that could have changed maybe the whole complexion of that game. So. Yeah, has not been impressive at all. I don't know if he's just having trouble, you know, with his new teammates trying to figure things out or whatever. But he has not been impressive.
I don't think we've had a chance. I don't think we haven't had you on yet this week. Sorry, Paul. My mind is a terrible thing to waste. We had Ralph Krueger on the show yesterday, and we were talking about Taylor Hall and how. You know, we figured, okay, we know he can score, but boy, he has really made some beautiful passes. He does seem to be to already have chemistry with Eichel, but boy, he can really pass the puck.
Yeah, he has chemistry with Reinhart too, and he revealed yesterday and then I remembered once he said it, he had played with Reinhart at the World Championships.
Oh, all right.
So he said it's not the first time he's been together with him, so he knew Sam a little bit. He knows how he likes to play. And that was instant chemistry. I mean, as soon as that line got together, I mean, they went crazy. And Reinhart was nowhere to be found before that. He had been playing on Stahl's line, and I didn't even know he had a uniform on. And all of a sudden he goes on to Eichel's line, and, you know, there's Sam Reinhart. He's doing pretty well. And
yep.
Next thing you know, Hall and Eichel are tied for the league lead in scoring going into last night's game. You look at the way he plays the game, and the thing is, he can get into the forecheck quickly. I mean, they had a dump in against the Flyers in the first game that he went for. Eichel put it in a perfect place for Hall. Hall got there easily first, won the battle, and next thing you know, the puck's in the slot for Reinhart, and it's in the net. So, he uses his speed to be able to get to battles and win battles before they even become battles. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. On Hall, Paul, you know, it's funny. I think you're going to have a certain segment of Sabres fans that are a little bit nervous about contract your guy with Eichel, and the points that could mean. But, you know, he does – you're talking about the forecheck. He plays physical. He does everything, Hall. He really does everything. And to see a player of that caliber on that line with Eichel, it strikes me that there's going to be a run this year or a stretch this year where that line is – they're already meshing, as you pointed out. It wouldn't surprise me if they have a three-week stretch where they're downright unstoppable because of how much talent is there and just how well the three of them play together.
Yeah, they had all sorts of opportunities in last night's game. You know, they played pretty well. They just didn't convert. They played a goaltender who's now 14-2-2 against them and, just stood on his head and made some great saves.
And they also they also missed the net. You've talked about it. Jack's missed the net how many times this year?
Oh,
it's a lot.
Numerous yeah. times. I mean, he does have some shots on goal, but he's had some glorious opportunities that he put over the top of the net in the 2-1 game against the Caps here. It was back-to-back, him and Hall on a power play. He put it over the net. Hall got the rebound, and he put it over the net. So that has been something that has plagued the team so far in this year.
What do you think of Cousins so far? He's getting a decent amount of ice time. He's on a good line. He's on the second power play unit. How do you think he's looked?
No, he's been on some different lines, and I think he has looked good. I think, he's not trying to do too much. That's the thing. You see him get the puck, and he's under pressure. They come and put pressure on him. He's a rookie. Well, they figure, well, if they get on him, he's going to turn it over. No, he's going to put it off a glass. He's going to make the easy play. He's going to get it out to center ice.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, right now that's what he's trying to do. And I think he's going to be better as he goes along. Once, you know, he gets a little bit of confidence and I think you'll see him maybe start getting some offensive opportunities and that thing. But you just don't say to myself, oh, that was an awful play. What was he thinking or anything like that? And you usually don't see that from a kid that young.
Yeah. Yeah, he does seem to have, well, and that goes with what everybody's saying about him. He certainly doesn't look lost. Like, the first thing I look at is, does the guy look like he doesn't know what he's doing? He's missing out on assignments, and his head is spinning. He seems very, I know he's not, the stat line wouldn't back it up at this point, but he seems very comfortable. Offensive zone, defensive zone, whatever, staying in the flow of the play, all those things.
Yeah, and, you know, along the wall. Now, he's going to get bigger. You know, sometimes you can tell he's not, and he's stronger than he was last year. But sometimes you can see that, along the wall he might get muscled off or something like that. That will change as his body gets bigger and he's willing to take care of himself and he's willing to get stronger. And he made some strides in the off season, and I think he'll even make more. He's the type of guy that I know is going to work hard, kind of like Eichel. Look at how much bigger Eichel is now than he was when he was an 18-year-old kid and showed up here. I mean, Eichel is a workout fiend. He works out all the time in the offseason. He's made himself bigger. He's made himself stronger and made himself a better player.
Hey, what'd you think of the white road unis?
Oh, I love them. I mean, it's just like, where have you guys been? Why have you had those other uniforms for all these years? I mean, it's just a gorgeous uniform to see. It's too bad that, the whites aren't at home, although there's nobody there to see them this year. But, that's what they used to be way back when it would be a colorful home game. You could see the other team's colors come into your building. But, just gorgeous uniforms.
All right. Hey, thanks, as always, for your time with us on the show this morning. Always a pleasure having you on, Mr. Hamilton.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, Paul. Paul with us on the Western Hotline. While we are on the topic, let's get you the updated NHL standings brought to you by Dash's Markets. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Markets. The Sabres are 1-3, so 2 points tied with the Rangers for the fewest in the East Division. The Flyers, with their win last night, are off to a 3-1 start, tied for first in the East Division. The Flyers and Caps have 6 points. Lindy Ruff's Devils got a win last night. They're off to a 2-0-1 start, so they've got 5. Islanders and Penguins with 4. The Bruins with 3. And then the Rangers and the Sabres have 2. Again, those are your NHL standings brought to you by Dash's Markets. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Markets.
Prediction for this season for you. The bonus point / overtime point system that we have is more annoying than ever.
Because it's all in the division? Everything?
It's all in division.
Yeah.
And here we are, the Sabres are 4 games in. They haven't gone to overtime once.
Right.
You know, the Capitals
did last night with Pittsburgh.
2 overtime losses.
Yeah.
It would have been a perfect season for a 3-2-1 point system, to, especially you're only playing each other. So it's
why
tough.
Why don't you bring that up at some point, for goodness sake? Speak up, finally.
Nobody listens.
I know they don't.
So, you're in last place, but you're 2 points out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, yes. That's right. Yeah, I forgot. Top four. That's right.
I don't know. If you look at this division, the Flyers are in first, and the Sabres looked totally competent against that first place team.
Yeah, I going into the season, Jeremy, Flyers did better last season than I thought. And, you know, they get Lindbom back and all that other stuff, and Hart's a really good young goalie. And I thought for sure, to me, they would be the favorite in the division. So I'm very happy with how they played in Philly, because I did think that was the best team in the division. And they played a good game. And last night, you know, if Skinner buries his chances, or, you know, as Paul mentioned, Olsson had a couple of beauties. They had a 1 minute 5-on-3, and they just, you know, they weren't able to beat Brian Elliott. He's just played very well against the Sabres in his career for some reason.
Well, if you look at PDO, which is save percentage plus shooting percentage, it's puck luck. A lot of people will call it, the stats community will call it puck luck.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres' shooting percentage is way low. Like, they are in pretty rough shape from a shooting percentage standpoint, shooting 6%, 6.6%. That's at the bottom. And from a save percentage standpoint, they're also not getting a lot of help, you know?
Yeah.
If all, whatever's going on with Allmark, Hutton, I mean, they probably needed goaltending help, and I'm not sure if they have any sort of long-term answer if Hutton were to miss time, or if Allmark is we didn't get an update on him.
No, there was no word,
as we thought we might. So,
well, they know. I mean, Johansson's not an option. He really isn't.
Right.
If one of those guys is out, you got to. I mean,
got to get help.
Yeah, and isn't UPL coming back from Europe at some point? Could he be ready to play? I mean, you got to do something better for your taxi squad goalie if you got to start playing this guy.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get a break in, and we want to talk with you at 803-0550. We are discussing this football game coming up Sunday night. Bills and Chiefs, is the game more about the Bills' offense, in your opinion? Is it more about the Bills' defense? You're not limited to that topic. Of course, we love to just chat about whatever's on your mind for this game. So grab a line and join us. Sal coming up at 8 o'clock to talk more Bills-Chiefs with us on WGR.
Crossbar, we rung a post. We did have bodies going to the net. There were some deflections and redirects. I thought Elliott played an outstanding game, but of course you need to visit the chances as a coaching staff and take a look at where and why we didn't create more second chances and get him out of position. I thought even the power play had some grade A chances where we just didn't bury them. But the question will be, when we look at it, did we have enough traffic? Did he see things or not? We will look at it. I mean, the positive was the amount we created. Negative is we went dry after hitting the mark well yesterday.
Ralph Krueger, some of his comments after the loss in Philly last night. I'm going to get to your calls in a moment. No goals last night, so we're going to go with post-game comments for our first moments of the game. Brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. And you can go forth and call us this morning at 803-0550 so we can talk about the Bills-Chiefs matchup with you. And in fact, we'll do just that with Brian and Arcade. Thanks for holding on, Brian. Welcome. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. So we talk about what type of game it is. You got to believe it's offenses because, I mean, Pat Mahomes doesn't throw interceptions, so you're not going to get any freebies from them. If the 49ers, with 5 first-round picks on the defensive line, couldn't hold them in check for the entire game, You know, it kind of tells you that you have to score points. And what I was listening to yesterday was Dave Ball was getting a lot of questions about, hey, you need to establish the run. You know, you didn't run that much. Should you get that in the game plan? And I just hope the Bills stay more pass heavy. I don't mind if Singletary hits it, you know, 6 to 8 times max. But you don't need to do what the Browns try to do and get Nick Chubb established and Kareem Hunt and, you know, that kind of game plan. Because once you fall down by 2 touchdowns, that goes out the window anyway. So I don't mind a change of pace, but you can't get lured into trying to go run heavy and controlling the clock and all that stuff. That we know that doesn't work. So I hope Daboll stays aggressive, and I think they will. And I think we learned that in the Seahawks game. That's the upper ceiling for the Bills.
Yeah, just the Seahawks game, I'm glad you mentioned that. One of the things we mentioned yesterday was passing attempts over expectation. Fancy way to say, in the history of the football and how often teams run and pass it, the Bills and Seahawks, that was the number one game for passing more than you would expect in the NFL this season. The Bills had the number one performance in terms of calling more passes than expected based on down and distance and score. And number two was last week against Baltimore. In the entire NFL, not Bills games, the entire NFL, the Bills have the two biggest discrepancies of pass to run on expectation. And did I see that Sean McDermott maybe was a little bit worried about that in the first half?
If my interpretation of what he said, he wasn't happy.
What did he say?
I don't have the exact comments.
I didn't see the quote. Yeah. I thought it was alluded to, and
it got a boy. I wish I saved it, Jeremy. No, there were a couple comments he made in the Zoom call after the game. Maybe about it got a little out of balance. I think was something to the effect of yes. It sounded like okay for me. It sounded like the head coach went to the offensive coordinator at halftime and said, "Listen, we got to try running the ball a little bit more than one designed run call." So yes, I do believe. That's the way I interpret it. That I don't think he was saying we got to go run heavy, but 24 passes and one run to a running back, let's try and sprinkle in some runs. Now, remember, in the very first drive they came out, Josh threw 6 times and they ran Singletary, I think, 3 times on that drive. So, yes, he did say something about that. And Brian, to your point, I'm guessing the response you're referring to from the Zoom call was when Daboll was asked about using the running game more for time of possession purposes in this game, and he said words to the effect, it will be an important part as opposed to the Baltimore game. I'm guessing that's what you're referring to. I don't think they'll run just one time in the first half, but I am not expecting them to change the identity of their offense, nor should they, and think, listen, we're going to have to run like 15 times in the first half and dial down the passes a little bit to keep Mahomes off field. I don't think they're going to do that. I'm guessing that's what you were thinking about when you said, I heard Daboll say something about the run. I think there's still going to be a pass-heavy offense. Maybe not 24-1, but a pass-heavy offense. I think that the head coach would sprinkle in a few runs.
All right, maybe not 24-1. What's the number? What do you want?
24-6? I don't know. I mean, it's predominantly throwing
the ball.
That's
just more plays.
Yeah, right.
25 plays. How many runs? You don't like 24-1. What do you
want? 5 or 6.
Too many.
I think that's what they're going to try and do. I think they'll sprinkle in a few runs. Yeah.
It's too many.
I know it's too. I'm just telling you. I don't think that's what you want. Me? You can throw the ball all day. I could care
25
less.
25-0.
You can just throw the ball. Throw the ball 45 times. I don't care. Mahomes throws 40 times a game. Is anybody upset in Kansas City? Unless you had Clyde Edwards-Helaire on your fantasy team. Look, the other thing too. And again, Brian, I don't say this stat to make you worried that they're going to change the identity of their offense, but for what it's worth, it's not a great run defense in Kansas City. I think they're 31st in run defense efficiency. Having said that, I think you still attack the secondary. I would expect they're going to play a lot of dime. They're going to do some blitzing. I guess they play mostly zone coverage. I would say you would still throw like 90-something percent of the time because that's what you do best. Make them stop it. And what did we talk about? You need points. We need big plays. You got to get some explosive plays. Kansas City has been susceptible this season to explosive pass plays. They're in the bottom 10. Or if you want to look at it in the reverse way, they're in the top 10 in terms of number of explosive pass plays they've given up defensively. I don't think you have to worry about them running the ball a lot. and you don't have Zach Moss again. You know, I mean, I don't know who's active, Yeldon or Antonio Williams, but I just don't, you know, you're not feeding the running game when maybe your best runner remains out because of an injury. Ooh, geez, I'm late. Sorry. We'll get a break in. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Sal is on the way. Now, we'll talk more about the Bills-Chiefs matchup with him. We want to hear from you as well. What, for you, in your opinion, what is this game more about? The Bills offense or the Bills defense? Whatever else is on your mind, give us a call. Sean McDermott in the 9 o'clock hour today on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.